You know, when he ran for president, Donald Trump did promote a few overt policy initiatives, build the wall, reduce regulation, negotiate better bilateral trade deals. But the main pitch for voting for candidate Trump was his experience as a deal maker and as a business leader, an independent leader who would use his business savvy to implement smart policy and make America great again. He'd hire great people, surround himself with them, and let them do their job. Well, how's Donald Trump doing by his own metrics? I'm Scott Ott with Stephen Green and Bill Whittle, and this episode of Right Angle is brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Well, men, it's now 6.5 months into the Trump presidency, and by my lights, we see precious few examples of Donald Trump's leadership skill or deal-making accomplishments. If anything, he's managed to anger not only those on the other side of the aisle, but supporters and even those closest to him, some of whom have been canned. And while he has packed his cabinet, and I'll give him this, with some top-notch picks, some great leaders, his own White House staff seems to be in a constant state of turmoil. And that's not just coming from the left-wing media who's trying to destroy the president, which of course they are, but it's just by the ebb and flow of people coming in and out and the fact that you can't get a consistent message discipline out of the White House. So, 4 communication directors on, and his second chief of staff. He's got more leaks in the White House than a fisherman's bait bucket. Stephen Green, where is the great business leader we were promised?
Wow. Okay, first, I have to tell you right off the bat, I love that he keeps firing people. Now, if we could just get Jeff Sessions fired, too. It was one of his worst hires. I think I said so at the time. And what was it, 2 weeks ago that Jeff Sessions said, yeah, not only am I bringing back asset forfeiture, but I'm going to tell my district attorneys to just override whatever limits that various state houses have put on asset forfeiture. We're just going to give him a loophole. We're just going to start taking stuff again.
But Steve, like, would it be better if he were firing people that he didn't hire?
Well, that I would love. You know, there's chaos right now at the State Department. Rex Tillerson has left all these positions unstaffed and then went on a mini vacation last week around the same time I was on vacation. So the state is in chaos. The White House is in chaos. But I was expecting that. You know, I kind of like that stuff. What I'm really disappointed, though, you know, 7 years ago, Barack Obama put it all on the line to get Obamacare passed. He was out there giving speeches. Now, whether or not they moved the needle of public opinion doesn't matter. What he was doing was providing public cover, very public cover, for wavering congressmen and wavering senators to get them to a yes vote on just about whatever Pelosi and Reid could put together. It's what we call the bully pulpit. It's presidential leadership, and it took him over a year. It took him almost a year and a half to get this thing passed, April or May of 2010, I guess. But he did it. He worked with Congress. He worked the public. He pulled those waivers on board. And I knew Obamacare repeal was dead in the water because Trump's version of leadership on this was to occasionally throw a tweet out, and his tweets all contradicted each other. So what this White House needs isn't so much firing the right people or hiring the right people. That every White House goes through personnel. What he needs is some discipline, and I'm hoping that having General Kelly as his chief of staff is going to provide that.
Well, and in fairness, let me just correct the record a little bit. In fairness to Donald Trump, Barack Obama, after all, was the author of the best-selling book, The Art of the Deal, was he not? So, you know, Bill Whittle, the president, as Steve pointed out, just replaced his chief of staff with a 4-star general who is, by all accounts, expected to bring order out of the so-called chaos in the White House. And Trump supporters immediately jumped on this as evidence that the president is in control and is making great decisions, as he always does. But so far, we've seen little of that management guru we were expecting and almost nothing of the great dealmaker. Now, I'm not talking about his public pronouncements of what he believes. I'm talking about his abilities as an executive. I know the alternative to Trump was worse, so we don't have to go there. You know, it could have been Hillary Clinton. And I know that the media is trying to destroy him, so we don't have to go there. But Bill, aren't your arms getting a little tired from carrying water for this president?
No, they're not getting tired. I got another 7.5 years of that in me for sure, considering the alternatives.
Bingo. Yes.
Oh, you went there, even though I said we don't have to go there.
No, Hillary Clinton is one alternative. And look, if somebody in the Republican Party wants to primary him and it's a better candidate, I'll certainly think it over. First of all, you're absolutely right. There's no way to sugarcoat this. This is, in fact, chaos. And I think a couple things are going on here. I think the easy explanation is that this is the difference between business and politics, that you don't have the unilateral ability to simply make a decision and have it be enforced. You know, there is the whole idea of government is essentially kind of a consensual compromise kind of thing and so on. But you're right. That's basically what he's known for. I think looking back on the first 6 months, I said, we all knew, once he was elected, that the pushback was going to be severe. But I certainly didn't anticipate this level of just, you know, not just vitriol. I just didn't expect this level of CNN lying and the leaks. So really, it's the leaks, right? That's really what it comes down to. I'm very happy with his defense pick, by and large. I like his UN ambassador picks and so on. So really what it's coming down to is what's going on inside the White House, because that's where the press secretary is and that's where the chief of staff is. I think Donald Trump made a deal with the Republican establishment or certain members of it in order to become the Republican nominee and get their full support. And so Reese Priebus and other people like that. And I think the situation has determined now that Trump is probably realizing that he's a president that does not have his party behind him in the way that the Democrats did. In fact, he may have less of the party behind him than any president in memory. Although Reagan also had a lot of people who didn't think he was, you know, good for the party, that he was an outsider.
Well, so, Bill, let me bring this back, though, because I don't think it's a problem with the Republicans don't like Trump or the media doesn't like Trump. Let me give you a specific example. So he's having problems with leaks in the White House. He brings in Anthony Scaramucci. Scaramucci's first act as the new communications director is to intentionally call a reporter and call Reince Priebus an effing schizoid, paranoid, schizophrenic or whatever. So not only did he not deal with the leaks, but he brought in a guy who can't keep his mouth shut.
You're the last bit of your question just completely froze. Not only did he not deal with the leaks.
I'm saying if he has a problem with leaks, the last thing you do is bring in loose-lipped Scaramucci who can't keep his mouth shut. And that guy was actually the exact opposite of the kind of person of discretion that you needed at that time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely was, and there's no question about it. I suspect, yes, it's a mess, okay? It's a mess. And the only thing worse than having a mess and constantly trying to find a fix to the mess is having a mess and keeping the mess and letting the mess go. I'm a little bit reminded about the Iraq war situation here, where the inertia and the, the stay the course kind of attitude said, you know, we're making mistakes here, and people were saying we were making mistakes. We kept making the mistakes until finally George Bush decided, okay, no, this whole strategy is wrong. We swapped a bunch of commanders out there, but he had to finally make a decision that we're either going to go with a surge, we're going to go bigger, we're going to go home. He made the decision, and that strategic change fixed all of the tactical issues. So in the similar sense, the question is the hiring of Kelly a strategic change of vision on Donald Trump's part, or is it just the next guy to get fired?
Yeah.
I think that's really it. The indication seems to be that it's a sea change of some kind. Kelly, by all accounts, so Scaramucci goes in there and then immediately blows up with this ridiculous phone call and all of these absurd quotes. He says, my God, we got to do something with Kelly. And Kelly's first action is, we are getting rid of this guy. That's the first thing that's going to happen. We're getting rid of him. Or I'm not coming.
Yeah.
You could look at that as saying, okay, here's somebody finally got an adult here doing it. But your larger point is correct, Scott. This is the kind of thing that people thought Donald Trump would be doing. And I agree completely that he has been really lacking not even the persuasive skills, but just lacking message continuity. This whole Republican thing with the 17 attempts to repeal Obamacare. If Trump were an effective politician, he would have made it crystal clear, you know, that the people elected me, and if you're a Republican and you're standing against me on this key issue, I'm going to call you out and I'm going to primary you and I'm going to bring the Trump fury down on you. So yeah, I suspect what it is really is more of a problem understanding the consensual nature of politics, even on your own team. You know, it's one thing to, I'll just close with this because obviously the whole thing is kind of confusing. Let me just say this. I suspect that a businessman understands that let's say I'm an American businessman, I want to negotiate with a Chinese company. We understand that the Chinese company are going to be the adversaries. We understand that they are going to be pushing for the best deal possible. We're prepared for what they want. We're probably not prepared for the fact that if I'm the CEO of the American company, I'm going to give orders that aren't obeyed and that people on my staff are going to leak negotiating tactics and strategy to the Chinese. I suspect I'm not ready for that. And that seems to be a fair assessment of what's happening. So we'll see.
Hey, Scott, you mind if I throw in one more thing that Bill just reminded me of? You know, we spent 2006 and a big part of 2005 watching Iraq slide into a civil war under Donald Rumsfeld's watch. And I remember shouting at the TV, shouting at VodkaPundit.com, you've got to change course in Iraq, President Bush. You got to change course. You got to get rid of Rumsfeld or you're going to lose the Congress. And sure enough, boom, 2006 election hit. Bush lost the Congress. He lost the Senate. And the day after the election, on Wednesday morning, is when he announced he was replacing Donald Rumsfeld, and the entire Republican Party went, now you get rid of him?
Yeah. Well, he saved the war anyway, just so Obama could lose it.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a theory about this, and I'll test it out on you in a second, but I think, you know, many Trump supporters, well-intentioned as they have been forced to redefine downward the role of the nation's chief executive from what it says in the Constitution. Many, many Trump supporters now feel like, well, maybe it's if the president at least, takes on the media, then he's doing his job, or takes on the left, then he's doing his job. But that's not his job. That's Rush Limbaugh's job. That's what a pundit does. And this soft bigotry of low expectations toward the nation's chief executive is leading to kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, the accounts we get from inside the White House are that the president knows a lot more about what his surrogates are saying on CNN or Fox News than he does about the actual policies that his administration purports to advocate. He cares more about the chattering class, what they're saying on cable, than he does about his own policies or managing his own White House staff. And I think that if we're really going to make America great again, then we need to hold our president to a higher standard. But my theory is, and I propounded this during the primaries, is that Donald Trump never was a great businessman. If you look at his history, you will find that he had a very particular set of skills. And what he did was he found things in distress and he managed to buy them at a discount and then managed to pour a bunch of other people's money into it and then managed to get out before everything went south. And so that's what he did in Atlantic City and in some cases with buildings in New York. Now, that can be done by a very small handful of people. You don't need to be a great business leader to have an organization like that, because a lot of it depends on your personality. And so you can sit down with the New Jersey Gaming Commission and basically say, banks are lining up to give me 7% money, when in fact no banks were lining up and the best money you could get was 14%. So my contention from the beginning has been that Trump's key sales pitch, that he's a great deal maker and that he's a great business person, not only won't translate into being a great nation's chief executive, but that it never existed in the first place. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.